You're listening to HBCU Pulse Radio.
Yeah.
On Sirius XM, channel 142, HBCU. You're now locked in to HBCU Pulse. We're the number one outlet for HBCU life, talking about everything that's important to our culture, from on-campus issues to politics and what's trending on the yard. We always keep that same energy. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to HBCU Pulse Radio. You're listening to the HBCU Sports Playbook. HBCU Pulse Radio.
What's going on, everybody? This is Randall Barnes, the founder of HBCU Pulse and the host of HBCU Pulse Radio, here on SiriusXM for another amazing edition of the show on today, where we're talking about the NFL draft and specifically HBCU prospects in the NFL draft. Last year, we had four players that were drafted, including Joshua Williams, who won the Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs. Listen, HBCU football has been and will always be on the map. So now we're ready to see some amazing young men get their shot in the NFL. Ariel, how you doing today? I know you're excited. You're a football expert. What's going on?
Doing good, man. Got on my battle shirt from a basketball conference. You know, it is basketball season, but we're battling today for these top prospects because, like we were saying before, probably got some of the same people, and, you know, people probably expect us to say at least two notable names that everybody's been talking about. But there are a lot, like there's over 20 prospects that are going into this draft, and some of them I think deserve spotlight, so I'm ready to break down my list.
So most definitely, so let's go on and get started then. So Ariel, it's a lot of amazing prospects. You said 20 specifically, and it's been a lot of great talent in HBCU football this past year. So what are four prospects that you're looking at to get drafted? Because last year we had four. So if it's only four people this year and four is the precedent, who are the four people that you think will get drafted?
If I had to choose my four, besides the main two that everybody is thinking is going to be taken first, they're not on my list, surprisingly. My number one is Xavier Smith, wide receiver at FAMU. I've been fascinated with him and his story and his journey at FAMU, especially after this last season, from protesting to all those players that were out in the beginning of the first game in the opening season, and then how they ended it, and then what happened to them in the playoffs. I'm a big FAMU guy when it comes to him. So Xavier Smith is my number one. And then this one, I know is going to get everybody because this is another defensive lineman that is going against one of the top two prospects. I have Joshua Prior as my number two. This man is unbelievable. A little bit bigger than the number one, but let me tell you, this man is sturdy. Scare any quarterback that he'll ever see. Then after that, for my number three, surprisingly, Randall, I have Emmanuel Wilson, the running back out of Fort Valley State University. I thought that would make you smile. And he's one of the very few running back pools that are right there. But man, this man has speed. Have you seen his numbers coming out of the combine, the HBCU combine? Man, let me tell you, people are really sleep on him right now because of the other things that are going on and nobody's really thinking about a running back right now. But let me tell you, him in the backfield, think about anybody in the NFC North that needs a running back right now. Shout out to my Falcons. We need a running back. Let's look at Emmanuel Wilson. And then my last one that I think is getting a little bit overlooked too, Tyler Barnes, the tight end out of Central. A lot of people say Robert Mitchell, the offensive lineman. He plays guard at NCCU, the past champion for the Celebration Bowl. He's looking in that top three. But I would say Tyler Barnes is actually unexpected and maybe a little bit overlooked. His numbers were looking really, really good too. And I know a lot of places, especially if you think about the AFC North, where you need some of those players that just aren't wide receivers, but looking for other threats that you can just honestly put in the slot or put anywhere that will run a route. Somewhere, something like a Kyle Pitts, but specifically in the AFC North. Those are my top four. I know people want me to say Isaiah Land or Mark Evans II out of Arkansas Applied Bluff. We already know those two are probably going to be drafted off top, but the four players that I just named, I think are overlooked.
So I think it's interesting because you have Aubrey Miller, you know, that's out there. You didn't pick him. And of course, Deion Sanders, who's his coach, I don't really like talking about Deion Sanders as much. He's moved on. I've moved on. We all have to honestly move on, but he's tough. And this could be like another Deion Sanders pick. You had James Houston. Now you got Aubrey Miller. You have Dejon Nugget Warren that's out there, Isaiah Bolden. So do you think the Deion Sanders effect is going to really take hold this year? Because I personally didn't see it last year. We had four players drafted, none in 2021, but there's been multiple players drafted to the NFL from HBCUs before Deion Sanders even knew what HBCUs were. So do you think that maybe this is the year we'll maybe see the prospects from Jackson State that he coached get drafted? Or does the Deion Sanders effect even really exist?
When I think of the Deion Sanders effect, I think of the Deion Sanders effect in coaching, not necessarily players. And we had this discussion before. Was he a great player? One of the greatest players of all time. Is he a good inspirational coach? Cool. But when it comes to the development of the players outside the character, but when it comes to skill, I think that was more of a whole staff thing. Deion Sanders just knows how to pick them. That's all I'm really going to say. I'm not going to go into his coaching or whatever. I just don't think his effect really applies to players. I really just think it applies to getting HBCUs the notoriety, not necessarily skill. But if he does get another defensive lineman into this draft, this would be his second one in a row after James Houston, which, you know, would come to his credibility that he knows how to put players and put products into the NFL. He was third on my list. I just don't think he's going to be the first. I just don't think he's going to be the first Jackson State player to be taken off. Honestly, there's too many good players, especially on the defensive side. A lot of edge rushers, a lot of defensive linemen coming off the board that I just feel like personally are better than Aubrey Miller. He's top five for me to be taken off, but I don't think he's going to be the first. Like Dallas Daniels, I think should be taken off the board first. This man put in work this year and was the most used wide receiver out of Shador Sanders when they were there that put points on the board, averaging about 3 touchdowns a game. I would pick him, to be honest, over Aubrey Miller. And then you got to talk about Isaiah Bolden. Then you got Warren that's also entered the draft. And then when you look at Central 2, you got Tyler Barnes. You got Robert Mitchell, who I think is a better player and probably a better pick than Aubrey Miller. He's a great guy, show great numbers. But if you weren't invited, you're not one of those two players that were invited. And then you got other players that I just named that are just a little bit more developed than he is. Not saying he won't be taken. He's a big name, but not one of the biggest names that I've seen.
You said Dallas Daniels. So do you think that maybe it's a Shador Sanders effect? Because you have Shador, you know, that's the HBCU player of the year. And he was putting up a lot of big numbers, a lot of flashy games. He had that FAMU game where he threw all those consecutive passes. And Dallas Daniels and Shane Hooks were the big recipients. And then, of course, for Nugget, when you really look at Nugget, he had Travis Hunter to deal with. Nugget is a talented player, but Travis Hunter really took up a lot of oxygen. Now, Travis did get injured, but I think that sort of took some shine from Nugget. So, like, do you think that more than the defensive players, they were the number one defense in FCS, do you think that maybe Shador can will Dallas Daniels into the NFL?
I think that combo, how special they were, I think that's probably one of the main reasons that he gets noticed. Not saying, like, Coach Prime didn't do anything, but just having very great molded quarterback. When you look at his highlight tape, and then you look at how well he did in the Legacy Bowl and how well he did on those days, I think just Daniels is a better pick to me than Aubrey Miller, especially when you're looking at teams that are trying to rebuild, like Bears, and you have the Packers, and then you got the Patriots, you got the Saints coming up, you have the Panthers, you got the Raiders, all these teams that are trying to rebuild and pick up weapons. I think it's more of a weapons year than anything. Now is the time to build up your offensive line and make sure that you can get down the field and score. So I'm with Dallas Daniels on this one. Aubrey Miller is great. There's nothing against him. I just personally think with the way that Jackson State shined, especially with Shador Sanders on the offense, Dallas Daniels comes off the board first.
I want to pencil in this question for next year because we're going to be here next year. Should we claim Shador Sanders as an HBCU player if he gets drafted? Like, that's going to be, we don't got to answer that right now. We got to think about that one like that. We're going to put that on the ticket for next year's draft show because we might have to have that conversation because I might be like Jackson State Shador Sanders, Colorado, Jackson State Shador Sanders. But just moving on, you know, a lot of these great HBCU prospects, we had four that were drafted last year. But what you saw is that there were a lot of HBCU prospects that weren't drafted, but they were taken in undrafted free agency. And I think we look at Marquise Bell out of FAMU. He was a perfect example of it because the chatter around him was the Cowboys were looking at him. They worked him out. they really wanted to draft him, but they were like, no, we're not going to burn a draft pick for this. But if he's available in undrafted free agency and no one has picked him up, we're going to get him. And you saw what Marquise Bell was for a Cowboys team that outside of flaming out in the second round, like did pretty good. They did pretty good. So I wonder if that is the real path for a lot of these HBCU players, because we want to see almost all these players. We want to see all of them get drafted. But I don't think that to a point that's realistic because of all of the talent that's coming from around these different conferences. But do you think that undrafted free agent lane is the best lane for HBCU players to get in?
It's not that it's the best lane. I think that's our only lane. And I believe that's really sad because the people in – even while you were talking and you said that, and I was reading about it, preparing for this show, it was just like people still think that HBCUs don't produce good products. And we really do. When you're looking for somebody, you're talking about HBCUs that had to be built because we couldn't go into the public white institutions. And then we're already working 2 to 3 times, maybe 4 times as hard to prove that we are better than these 5-star top athletes that choose Alabama, that choose Georgia, that choose Ohio State, that choose Notre Dame, that choose all these really great teams. And still we're not getting picked in rounds 1 through 3, but we get picked through rounds 4 through 6. And then if we're not picked through 4 through 6, now we have to go and wait on a practice squad, or we have to go overseas, or we have to do USFL. There were a lot of players that I didn't even name that were drafted for the USFL. And they feel like that's their only choice because they're not going to get picked in the draft, or they have to be on a practice squad to work their way up. And we already have a separate combine because you only invited 2 players to the real NFL combine. There is no chance for HBCU players to actually excel and soar anymore like there used to be. It's not a Deion Sanders draft anymore. It's not a Shannon Sharpe draft anymore. We're just going to pick them because they have that ability. There's no longer trying to introduce Black athletic strong players anymore. We're already there. We're just trying to be more dominant. So, like I said, it's not the best way. It's our only way, and I wish it wasn't. But I believe this draft class specifically might change that. I feel like we might get at least maybe 7 players out of this draft, hopefully in the 3rd round and above. But this draft class is just different. Like this, like I said, we mentioned Isaiah Land and we mentioned Mark Evans II, but you got to think about Kamari Everett, like you said, Arby Miller, Jadakiss Bonds, who I think did extraordinary in the Legacy Bowl, and nobody's really giving him the talk that he wants. Xavier Smith, which has actually worked his way up, Joshua Pryor, Andrew Farmer, Emmanuel Wilson, Robert Mitchell from Central and that championship team. These are all really great players, all top prospects, all starters for HBCU Legacy Bowls, and they might have to take the back burner. And I think to an extent, it's disrespectful and it's not honorable, and these players deserve more respect and notoriety than ever before. This is literally probably the best draft class that I've seen in a minute.
That's powerful. Like the best draft class you've seen in a minute. And I can agree on that, because I just think that because of the transfer portal, I think that because of the ways that players train, and also, you know, the dearth of footage and the way that these players study and they grow their mind for the game, I think that they've gotten better. And a lot of these guys come in to college ready for the pros. They just need that, you know, experience, and they need the opportunity to make it happen. And of course, we have a list of every HBCU player that was drafted from 1950 with Bob Stonewall Jackson, from North Carolina A&T, all the way to Joshua Williams and to Kobe Durant, that were running the NFL last year. And I think that possibly the Kobe Durant and Joshua Williams got some folks drafted this year, and the draft as we're recording this hadn't even started yet. Like, I just really think that they got some folks ready, like, man, from South Carolina State, from Fayetteville State. Oh, man, we're looking at Emmanuel Wilson. You know what I'm saying? Like, Division II might have something. You know, so I'm super excited for what's coming up, and I really hope that we get some folks taken off the board. But coming up next, Ariella and I are going to be NFL GMs. Oh, man. And A&T already has an NFL GM. Ariella's going to be the second one. And we go pick what players we personally would take off the board if we have 5 picks. So make sure to stay tuned. You're listening to HBCU Pulse Radio. We'll be right back.
Don't go anywhere.
Y'all know I am, right?
Yeah. HBCU Pulse Radio will be right back after this commercial break.
This episode is sponsored by the Give Black app, created for us, by us, to simplify giving, donating, and fundraising. The Give Black app is the world's go-to app for Black philanthropy, educating, and economically empowering Black organizations globally. Giving, donating, and fundraising just became easy. With Give Black, you can donate to the causes, businesses, and organizations that mean the most to you. As a business, founder like myself, or brand, you can raise 24/7 funds without spending tons of cash to find your ideal donors and partners. Available on iOS and Android mobile devices.
HBCUs are more than a trend.
Yeah.
We're forever a part of the culture. HBCU Pulse always has you on lock. From the shade room to your favorite news feed, and now on your TV and radio. We are the number one outlet for HBCU culture. Follow HBCU Pulse on social media and visit HBCUPulse.com to stay up to date on what's going on in the HBCU community. Welcome back.
In 4, 3, 2, 1.
To HBCU Pulse Radio, the heart of HBCU culture.
Welcome back to HBCU Pulse Radio, where we're talking about the NFL draft and the HBCU prospects that we're looking for to get drafted. Ariel said last break, this is the most talented HBCU pool of talent that she's seen in a long time, and I tend to agree. And I think it's only going to get better. But I'm going to live out a dream I've always wanted to live out, because I play Madden, I play franchise mode, I play NBA 2K, I play my league. So I've always wanted to be like an NBA or NFL team owner or general manager, because I think I can build a really good team. I know Ariel can too. So what we're going to do is that we're going to pick five players, like we're general managers, that we personally would draft if we were NFL general managers. Now, Ariel wants team names. So, Ariel, what is your team name?
All right. So, we're going to be the AK Killmongers, because my last name is Kilgore. And we coming back to take everything back that they think they stole from us that we couldn't have. We coming in and taking the land. That's what we doing. Ariel Killmongers. Let's get it. That's how I'm feeling.
I wasn't expecting that. My team name is Team Eddie Robinson. Okay.
Oh, like, my God.
I wasn't expecting we were going to go that crazy. Team Eddie Robinson, the best college football coach of all time. Well, I know that's debatable. We don't have time for that. But Team Killmonger, you get the first pick. So who is your first pick in this hypothetical HBCU football prospect draft?
All right. With the first pick in the HBCU fantasy draft, we take, just know it's all love. it's all love, Randall. We take Xavier Smith, wide receiver, FAMU. That's my first pick. I know they always tell you never to pick an offensive player first, but you know, that's what we got.
My first pick, I'm taking Isaiah Land. Isaiah Land, like a lot of folks have been talking about him, Buck Buchanan award winner. Like, I rewatched the game with FAMU when FAMU played Jackson State in the Orange Blossom Classic. And while FAMU did get blown out, Isaiah Land sacked Shador Sanders real good. And they were saying, well, he held the ball too long. But the way that Isaiah Land got to Shador Sanders, I feel like that was the day someone was watching and said, you know what? I'm going to draft him. So I am drafting Isaiah Land. So shout out to Isaiah Land. He's on Team Eddie Robinson.
All right. For the second pick of this HBCU fantasy draft, I choose the MEAC offensive lineman of the year, Robert Mitchell. He's a great guard. This man didn't allow a sack a season. He had 7 sacks, 5 of them officially on his own. This man's a beast, and he ran through Jackson State. So I'm gonna pick somebody that's gonna help me in my line. I got Robert Mitchell.
I really like that. And I think one thing about Robert Mitchell that's special is that he played Jackson State, you know, in the Celebration Bowl. Then North Carolina Central played a lot of really tough teams, including some playoff teams for the FCS and playoff contending teams. So to say that Davius Richard with Robert Mitchell never got touched, that honestly really says a lot. So I think that's a really great pick. So for me, what I'm going to go with, I got so many great options. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to pick Aubrey Miller. Like, we're going to have some terror out here. Like, it's going to be some terror on the defensive line, pressuring on the quarterback. And I just want to read Aubrey Miller's stats for this year. 117 total tackles, 65 solo tackles, 53 assisted, 4 QB hits, 6 pass breakups, 5 forced fumbles, 2 fumble recoveries on this season for Jackson State. I honestly feel like in real life, Aubrey Miller, even without the Deion Sanders co-sign and playing for Jackson State, I feel as if Aubrey Miller is going to get picked up, and he's my second pick on Team Eddie Robinson.
You know what? I'm not going to lie to you. This fan was my next pick. That man was my next pick. His athleticism is crazy, and I love him for pass breakups. He had the most touches in a pass breakup on that Jackson State line. But I'm going to throw something out there. We're going to have like a little Jackson, you know, a Deion Sanders effect to an extent. The third player that I would be choosing is Kamari Everett, the tight end out of Bethune-Cookman. He's been getting a lot of talk too, but I would say this, the Deion Sanders effect, because he's a transfer from Louisville. So we're not going to have a he's from Louisville out of the pit. We're going to say he's from Bethune-Cookman. So we get a little HBCU notoriety. He kind of resembles Kyle Pitts to me. I could put him anywhere. If I want him as a wide receiver, he can do it. If I want him as a tight end, whether I have him in the slot or I need him anywhere, this man is very, very versatile. In his career, he had 91 passes, completions, 1,330 yards, 17 touchdowns to end this season. This man is just everywhere on the field. I think that's a really, really good pick if I just need to switch up somebody and he's not scared to be in a different position. So I like Kamari Everett.
Another great pick. Now, of course, I'm going to go with Division Two, but it's going to shock you who I'm going with, okay? You're not expecting this. Okay. So with my next pick, I'm going with Deion Golat Jr. out of Bowie State.
Ooh.
Quarterback. A quarterback.
Oh! Look at
yeah, 207 completed passes, 337 pass attempts, 18 passing touchdowns, only 8 interceptions on the year. Bowie didn't make the championship, but Bowie was still in it, and Deion Golat Jr. was a big reason why. I really liked his game against Virginia Union. Like, they lost to Union, and Union seemed as if they were going on to the CIAA title, but that was one of the best games of the year. And in a game, a competitive game against a Virginia Union team that was so good, led by Jada Byers, but Jada Byers don't play defense. And here's the thing. Like, Deion Golat Jr. threw for 303 yards and 3 touchdowns with 68.2% completion against Virginia Union. Like, in an all-time classic, even the CIAA really considers as a classic, and that really determined who was going to go against Chawan to then make it to the CIAA championship. Then Chawan beat him. But don't got to worry about Chawan no more. Chawan's gone. You know what I'm saying? But they don't got to worry about him no more. But Deion Golat Jr. is really that guy. And against Livingstone, I know Livingstone hasn't been a great football team recently, but he had his best game of the season, 439 yards, 32 pass completions, 40 pass attempts, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 80% completion. If someone can do that on that football field, he's that talented with his arm, you got to pick him up.
That actually took me for a loop. I was like, where is Randall going with this? I wasn't with you for a second, but okay. Now, this is my pick. I feel like I need somebody off the edge. I don't think you said his name yet, and I'll be happy to get him. Now, this matchup that I'm about to say kind of reminds me of the 2022 NFL draft when you had Trayvon Walker and you had Aiden Hutchinson. Aiden Hutchinson was chosen second out of Trayvon Walker. We kind of saw how that went, and personally, I would have put Aiden Hutchinson first. So this is kind of one of those things where people are comparing Joshua Pryor to Mark Evans II. And I think Joshua Pryor is my Aiden Hutchinson that should have done first. So I'm going to take Joshua Pryor out of Bowie off the edge. This man, I think, has more power than Mark Evans. Mark Evans, despite his combine numbers, I feel like he's a little bit slow. And if I got Joshua Pryor, I got a bigger man, I got a stronger man, and I got somebody that's fast. He can still scare the quarterback just the way that Mark Evans can. I got Joshua Pryor.
I have to do this, right? Got to do this as my fourth pick. Like, I could not be a general manager and not pick somebody from Fort Valley. So I got to go with Emmanuel Wilson. Emmanuel Wilson rushed for 1,371 yards on 209 attempts, 17 rushing touchdowns, and Jada Byers eventually was the finalist out of Virginia Union for the Harlan Hill Trophy as a running back out of our region. But Emmanuel Wilson was arguably the second best running back in HBCU football, period, and especially in Division II, right behind Jada Byers. He's big, like you said, he's quick, he's powerful, and he honestly was our whole entire game plan with Fort Valley. Had two amazing games against Tuskegee and against our rival Albany State. That gave us our first win since 2016. So I really appreciate him a lot. He's a Wildcat forever for that one. So Emmanuel Wilson, that is my fourth pick. And my draft is going, you know, outside of Xavier Smith, my draft's going pretty well.
I'm really hurt. Can I trade? Can I do a trade right now? Dang, that was my last player. Randall, let's talk, man. Who you want, man? Let's talk.
I'm good over here. I'm good.
Well, I guess I'm going to have to take Dallas Daniels out of Jackson State. I think with the core group that I have, he would be a really great addition. And he knows how to work with efficient quarterbacks and also knows how to make plays himself. And he will, to me, would probably really work with my tight end that I've had earlier. So we're going to go with Jackson State, Dallas Daniels. I would trade Dallas Daniels to you, man. But that just kind of killed my draft. Who's the title pick, Randall? Since you love killing dreams.
Okay, so my final pick. So you took Xavier Smith from me. You know, I really wanted to draft him. Very talented player. And I got a chance to meet him. And I didn't realize it. I got a chance to interview him. I remember that. But I got to get Jadakiss Bonds. You know, 6'4", caught 10 touchdowns this season, averaged 17.4 yards per catch. I think that he's really like going to get drafted. He might be the first receiver off the board just because of the height. And I was surprised last year, just a little bit off topic, that Shamar Bridges, who was 6'3" for Fort Valley, didn't get drafted. He got picked up by the Ravens. He had a really great preseason for the Ravens. Maybe Lamar will want to stay if you put Shamar Bridges on the team. But maybe Jadakiss Bonds, maybe Shamar set the standard. And you have Jadakiss Bonds, that's a good catching talent. Like, you can target him. He's going to go up there and get it. So I think that Jadakiss Bonds is pro ready. So, hey, you took Xavier Smith, so I got to take Jadakiss Bonds. Hey, listen, that's the draft. Ario, how you think you did?
You know what? Despite you stealing a player from me, I'm going to go ahead and say it. You pulled a Chadwick Boseman on me. You stole a player. You kept him in the motherland. I think I'm pretty successful. I think I have you on the edge. I think my two linemen will definitely rumble your squad. But I think we did pretty good. What do you think?
I think we did good, too. I did my homework on this one, for real. I really did my homework. And I had to slide in two Division II guys because I really want to see Division II talent get that shot, because we got some guys in the SIAC and the CIAA. And let's not forget, Shannon Sharp came from the SIAC, Savannah State University, and they back in the SIAC. So I think we did a good job. But in general, overall, for, you know, the 10 players we picked and for all these young men, we wish them the best. This is a big time for them. And I know that they've done so much in their life to get to this point. So we're rooting for them. And we hope that this draft, even if they don't get drafted, they get the opportunity to get on a practice squad and make an impression, or become an undrafted free agent and be a story like Marquise Bell. Marquise Bell, like I said, was not drafted, but he made an impact on the Dallas Cowboys out of FAMU, and he was definitely repping FAMU. He was showing FAMU a lot of love. So we need that, and we need more HBCU players to really truly take over, because as they see the talent coming out of HBCUs, how they're dominating, like Marquise Bell, Nakobe Durant, Josh Williams winning the Super Bowl, there's going to be even more players that are taken. So I'm super excited for what's to come. Ario, great stuff. This is a really fun show. Where can we find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram at __ Martyr Day Ari, or you can find me on Twitter at @AskGreeGree__, or find me on my website, theunaxedopinion.weebly.com.
Of course, you can follow HBCU Pulse on Instagram and YouTube at HBCU Pulse, Twitter and TikTok, the HBCU Pulse, and subscribe to HBCU Pulse Radio wherever you get your podcasts. You can donate to us at paypal.me/HBCU Pulse or cash up us at $HBCU Pulse. But outside of that, thank you so much for tuning in. And as always, we'll see you on the other side, and we'll talk to you next week.
Like what you hear?
Yeah.
Subscribe to HBCU Pulse Radio on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, head to HBCUpulse.com to stay up to date on what's going on in the HBCU community. Thank you for listening to HBCU Pulse Radio.